Good afternoon, and our text for today in Proverbs, printed on the inside of the bulletin, Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 7 through 9. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get, get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Well, this is a father speaking to a son, as we learn in the first chapter of Proverbs, and to all intents and purposes, this is Solomon speaking to one of his sons, and he's saying to his son, get wisdom, get insight. And we've been extrapolating together what wisdom means, and we've said things like, It's more than knowledge, it's more than facts, it's more than just information. It's know-how, it's expertise. It's knowing not just what the goal is, but how to get there. How to fulfill Shorter Catechism question and answer number one: what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So how do we glorify God? How do we experience that joy that is the result of glorifying God? Wisdom is to be what God wants us to be. And you need to know what the question is, don't you? In order to be wise, you need to know what's the question. In order to provide the right answer, you need to know what the question is. And my favorite illustration of this is Douglas Adams' marvelously funny book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, and it was turned into a TV series that was equally as funny. And there is a computer, as you may remember, in Adams's Hitchhiker's Guide, called Deep Thought. And Deep Thought is asked or tasked to determine the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And so it begins its computations and checks its computations and rechecks its computations, and it takes 7.5 million years, and at the end of it, it suddenly comes to life and it says 42. And the person standing beside Deep Thought says, is that all you've got to show for 7.5 million years of work? And Deep Thought replies, I checked everything very thoroughly, and that is quite definitely is the answer, 42. I think the problem, to be quite honest with you, is that you've never actually known what the question is. And that kind of absurd tale illustrates the fact that if you don't know what the question is, you won't know what the answer is either. The question is, how can we be wise? Notice that this text is saying several things about what will happen if you get wisdom. It'll exalt you. You notice that the text is using the sort of picture, the metaphor of a young man, and he's seeking a wife. And he is to prize her highly as he would his mate. And prize her highly and she will exalt you. I often say, that wives make husbands look better than they are. I mean, that's certainly true of my marriage, that Rosemary makes me look far better than I actually am. She exalts you because she brings out the best in you. She brings out something in you that otherwise might never show itself, might never manifest itself. Notice also, she will honor you if you embrace her. She will honor you. Well, we call a judge your honor, or you'd better. There was a time in Britain, and it's no longer true now, but that policemen were referred to as honorable by the public, that is. That's long gone. So you might have a piece of paper on the wall framed from Carolina or Clemson or somewhere, and it says, magna cum laude, with honors. Somebody might compliment you, say something nice about you, and you say, well, I'm honored. I'm deeply honored. Even if you don't mean it, you might say, I'm honored. I'm really honored. I'm deeply honored. Wisdom honors you. When you have wisdom, it's like being honored. It's like having a magna cum laude. And then there's a third illustration. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. It talks about a garland and a crown being placed upon your head. So the image is she makes you look like a king because she is a queen. She makes you look like a prince because she's a princess. She makes you look far better than you otherwise would look. So get wisdom. Get this thing that Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and several Psalms go on and on about. Get wisdom. The wisdom of God. Well, wisdom will give you hope. But how do I get it? And let me suggest four things. First of all, desire it. I think that's what it means in verse 8 when it says, prize her highly. Now, what are the things that you prize? A piece of slate from a Welsh quarry that my wife and I purchased on our honeymoon. And though we didn't actually possess a house at the time, we had it inscribed with the Welsh words Tir Bigail, which is the shepherd's house. The farm that I grew up on had a little dwelling on it where at one time a servant might have lived who would have looked after the sheep, perhaps in the late 1700s. And it was called Tir Bigail. It was called the shepherd's house. And I always wanted to live in a house that was called the shepherd's house. And that piece of slate has gone everywhere. It went to Mississippi. It's now in Columbia, in South Carolina. It's on the outside of our house. And if you ever come to our house, you'll see it there. And everybody always asks because it's a foreign language. And they don't know how to pronounce it. And it's a wonderful story because I'm a shepherd in more than one sense. Right, so there's that too. So I prize that. In the house where I grew up, my mother had a shoebox. We didn't have a safe or anything. It was just a shoebox in which were stored all the important papers. you know, birth certificates and stuff. And I asked him one time, is this valuable? I was probably 11. Is this valuable? Because it was in my bedroom on top of a wardrobe. And I don't know. My bedroom was downstairs, and it was the nearest room to the front door. And I think the logic was that if the house caught fire, I would grab this box and take it with me. So I wrote on the box, if house on fire, please grab. Because it contained valuable things, things that I suspect my mother treasured, or at least were valuable, were priced. Maybe it's a piece of jewelry, or a photograph, something of sentimental value that you prize. And you look at it, and sometimes you touch it, and it brings back a host of memories from the past. Well, prize wisdom. Treasure it. Desire it. Seek it. This is Proverbs 2, verse 4. Seek it, it being wisdom. Seek it like silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure. When I was about 13 or 14, my best friend, Richard, and another friend, Edwin, we went for a cycle ride on bicycles, and it was a Saturday afternoon. And we went to the Dolgellau gold mines. They were 10 miles or so from where we lived. It was the mine from which Queen Elizabeth, my former Queen Elizabeth, you understand, Queen Elizabeth II's wedding ring was made from gold from this mine. And it had long since been shut down. My understanding is that there is a thought of reopening it again. You know, teenage boys have ways of getting in. And it wasn't very big. It wasn't, you know, 10 miles underground or anything. So there really wasn't much by way of danger involved. But we were convinced there was gold in them mines to be got. Well, seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. Doesn't Jesus say something about finding a pearl of great price? And you so desire it that you sell everything that you've got in order to purchase this pearl. Desire like that. Desire that's frankly over the top. It's a parable. So it's stretched things a little. And it's saying desire that takes over my entire life. So desire it, that's the first thing. Well, that's the point, isn't it? That's the question. Do you desire it? I mean, do you desire wisdom? Do you desire to be wise? So if you desire to be wise, number two, it's found in the Bible. Where can you find wisdom? In the Bible, in Scripture. The law, what does Psalm 19 say? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You all right? So the law of the Lord is, I've lost my place now. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He's talking about the Bible. Well, so read the Bible. Well, are you reading the Bible? What about reading Christian books. Ouch. How about watching an hour less of TV a day and reading something profitable and helpful that'll make you wise? How about that? Suppose you read 250 words a minute. Yes, you can read 250 words a minute. For 15 minutes a day. In 1 year, you will read 5,475 minutes. Multiply that by 250 words, and you've got 1,368,750 words in a year. That's roughly equivalent to 20 average-sized books in a year. Okay, so how many books have you read this year? And we are in September. I mean Christian books. I don't mean fluff and flannel. I mean a Christian book. Have you read one this year? Don't answer it out loud. If the answer is no, then maybe we need to go back to point one. Do you desire to be wise? Three, ask God for it. That's what James says, isn't it, in chapter one. You know, James was Jesus' brother, at least that's what the early church taught us about the epistle of James, that the James, in, there are lots of James in the New Testament, but this James, so the early church said, was Jesus' brother, half-brother. Presumably, James knew what was foremost in Jesus' mind and thought. If any man lack wisdom, go to Clemson, go to Carolina, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask. Let him ask of God. It's a prayer I make almost, I want to say every day, but that's probably not true, but almost every day I pray that prayer. I'm in a meeting and Christians are behaving badly. And then they're not on the same page about something. And I pray in my head, I pray, Lord, give me wisdom. I don't know what to say here. Give me wisdom. Or somebody comes up to you and they present you with a predicament, a problem, and they want an answer. And they want an answer right now, and your mind is blank. You haven't eaten breakfast, you're jittery, you haven't got protein in your body, so there's no sugar, and you're trembling, and all you can think about is lunch. But you've got to answer, you've got to say something, and you've got to say something that's helpful. Lord, give me wisdom. So your children, or most of your grandchildren, are misbehaving. Lord, give me wisdom. I don't want to just say the same old, same old. When your mother comes home, Lord, give me wisdom. Tell me what I'm to do here. Alan Bloom, some of you may be familiar with Alan Bloom, University of Chicago, and he wrote a very influential, important book analyzing late 20th century American culture, The Closing of the American Mind. And he said this, and it resonated with me because this was true of my grandparents on my father's side, not so much on my mother's side, but on my father's side. My grandparents were ignorant people by our standards. Ignorant in the sense that they weren't well taught. They didn't go to university. I was the first person in my family ever to go to university. It was a different system. Only about 9% of the population went to university in the 1960s, 1970s when I went to university. So my grandparents were ignorant people by our standards, and my grandfather held only lowly jobs. But their home was spiritually rich, because all the things done in it, not only what was specifically ritual, found their origin in the Bible's commandments. Their simple faith and practices linked them to great scholars and thinkers who dealt with the same material. There was a respect for real learning because it had a felt connection with their lives. It's an interesting comment. Folk who've never been to university, folk who haven't got... You know, when I got my PhD, my mother was not impressed. She said, "Son, that's all that means is that you know something about one thing," which is true. I mean, I can bore you to tears about one thing. But there are millions and millions of things about which I am completely ignorant. So do you want wisdom? Then read the Bible and read books about the Bible and ask God for it. And four, well, you must come to Jesus. Didn't Jesus say, and hear him now, he's speaking about Solomon, the author of our text today. "The queen of the south will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." Solomon was a wise man. And the queen of the south, Queen of Sheba, came to hear him because she wanted wisdom. But a greater than Solomon is here. What an understatement that is. Do you know the Bible makes understatements? A greater than Solomon, Jesus is here. The Son of God incarnate is here. The sinless Lamb of God is here. Never did anyone speak like this, people said about him. What is he called? Paul refers to him in 1 Corinthians as the wisdom of God. He is the epitome of the wisdom of God. God has a purpose, and he achieves that purpose through his Son. That's what wisdom is, knowing your purpose and how to achieve it. Others had spoken the truth, but he is the truth. Others had pointed the way to life, but he is the life. Others had given promises, had spoken the promises of God, but all the promises of God find their yes and amen in him. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, if you want to be wise, you must come to Jesus. He must be your teacher. He must be your guide. He must be your instructor. He must be the one to lead you and shepherd you and change you and sometimes rebuke you and point you in the right direction. To know and to love and to follow Jesus is the ultimate in wisdom. It is the wise thing to do. So come to Jesus. But you say to me, I've come to Jesus. I came to Jesus years ago. Then come back to him. Come to him every day. Every single day, come to him. And say, make me wise. You know, we say in colloquial speech, wise up. Wise up. What does Solomon say? The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. That's the beginning. Get it. So let me go back to the beginning, because I think it's the most important point of all. Do you desire it? I mean, do you want it? Do you want to be wise? Because what's the alternative? What's the opposite? A fool. Father, we thank you for this proverb. Thank you for pointing us in the direction in which wisdom can be found in Scripture, in Jesus. We want to be wise. We desire it. Because we know that when we are wise, we feel exalted. We feel honored. We feel as though there's a crown upon our heads, and you've raised us above the commonalities of this life. So teach us what it means to be wise, for Jesus' sake. Amen.